The plan of my talk is to kill your interest with a lot of preliminaries, and then to arrive to the cohomology sequence, which is the main topic of the talk. So first of all, definition and examples of categorical groups. Then I will say something about the limit and about surjection. This is, in fact, the crucial step when I will fix a class of limits. All the rest will be determined by this choice. Surjection, but also the notion of exactness, the notion of extension. Okay, this is to start, and then the cohomology sequence. And I have considered four cases. The first one is the cohomology sequence that can be associated, constructed, starting from an extension of G cat groups. Second case, from an extension of G crossed cat groups. The third case is starting from an extension of braided cat groups. And the last case is when we start with an extension of symmetric categorical groups. Now, the first and the second case are, okay, in the sense that basically you take the classical situation with G groups or G cross module, and you get exactly the same kind of results for categorical groups. The last two cases are still are okay in the sense that we have more or less the same results, but with some minor differences. And I will try to explain the differences between the classical case. There is no analogous for this, but for Abelian group and the case of symmetric categorical groups. So what is a categorical group and what are the motivating examples to study categorical groups? Definition is easy. A categorical group is a compact closed groupoid. This means a categorical group is a monoidal category, a monoidal groupoid, say G with a tensor product, a unit object, etc., such that for all object X, there exists an object X star together with an arrow, eta, from the identity object to X tensor X star, and that's all. Sorry? Oh, yes, this is a tensor. By convention. In the sense that the other isomorphism follows from this one. This is a consequence. And I say that the categorical group is braided or symmetric. If it is braided or symmetric, it's a monoidal category. And the example, I know, which are all very basic and very classical example, and I hope to learn new modern examples from people here, are the following. From a ring theory, the Picard group of a commutative ring, the Brouwer group of a commutative ring, or some modification, the Picard of an off algebra, the Brouwer-Long group of an off algebra, the Galois group of an off algebra, the group of a group-like element of an off algebra. From, say, classical homological algebra, next, the group of extensions from algebraic topology. Take a point in the space and consider pi n of x for n bigger or equal 1. All these are honest groups, but they are all, they can be constructed starting from categorical groups. I forgot the two notations. If I have a categorical group G, I write pi 0 of G for the group of equivalence isomorphism classes of objects. This is a group which is abelian if G is braided, and pi 1 of G is the group of automorphism of the unit object, and this is always an abelian group. And now back to the examples. All these groups are pi 0 or pi 1 of some categorical group. And the idea is then let us study them as categorical group without passing to pi 0 of or to pi 1 of. Just one more example. It is not an example, it's another motivation, always from algebraic topology. It is known that the two categories of a crossed module is bi-equivalent to the two categories of small and strict categorical groups. I will come back to this example at the end. And okay, some classical examples. And now the second point is here we have a definition of a categorical group. Categorical groups give rise to a two category of categorical groups or braided categorical groups or symmetric categorical groups. Just take as morphism monoidal functors compatible with the braiding, and as two cells monoidal natural transformation. It is a two category, so there are several possible choices of limits. And the one I've taken to develop the theory is the notion of bilimit. So in the rest of the talk, if I say kernel or product or pullback, it is always in the sense of a bilimit. What is a bilimit? Forget the definition. The fact that I need is that a bilimit is unique up to equivalence. It's defined by an universal property which determines it in a unique way up to equivalence. And this is the crucial point. Now, for example, what I really need are kernels and co-kernels. I give you just as a description of the kernels. For the co-kernels, there is a description which is a little bit more complicated. But if I have a monoidal functor between, say, categorical groups, the kernel is given by a categorical group, a monoidal functor, and the natural transformation, epsilon, to the zero functor, which is the functor which sends everything on the identity of the identity. And it can be described in the following way. The kernel, an object here is a pair, given by an object here together with an arrow here. in this way. And the arrows are the arrows compatible. If I have a prime, small a prime, an arrow is an arrow here, F, compatible with A and A prime. Okay, this is all for the limit. We have a kernel, we have a co-kernel, at least in the symmetric case. And now, what about the surjection? If you want to develop homological algebra, you fix a class, a good class of epimorphism, and then you define everything using this class of epimorphism. And the idea is that here the class of surjection are determined by the limit I have chosen in an obvious way. The not obvious fact is that we get two class of surjections. The first class is given by functors which are full and essentially surjective. Why? Because take a functor, a monoidal functor, take the co-kernel. Then the co-kernel is equivalent to the one arrow categorical group if and only if it is full and essentially surjective. So the choice of a co-kernel determines the class of surjections. But there is another class which is determined by the same choice of limits, and it is the class of functor which are only essentially surjective. Why? Because now take the kernel. The kernel of F is equivalent to 1 if and only if F is full and faithful. Now, if you take the class of full and faithful functor and you take the orthogonal class, orthogonal in which sense? In the sense determined by limits. When you give the definition of orthogonality, you say that a diagram is a pullback. Now, if you ask that this diagram is a bipullback, you have a notion of orthogonality, and the class of arrows which are orthogonal to full and faithful are exactly the functors which are essentially surjective. Okay, so we have two classes of good epimorphisms, which are determined by limits. And using these two classes, we can define exactness and extension. So here is the definition. The definition, the name I use is two exactness. So consider a diagram of categorical groups, but here pointed groupoid is enough to give the definition of exactness. A diagram of this kind, FG, together with a natural isomorphism to the zero functor. And they say that this is a two exact if, considering the kernel, always a sense of bilimit, here we get a comparison, and we ask that F prime is in this more restrictive class. So I take the stronger definition of exactness. I have two candidates, and I take this one. If F prime is full and essentially surjective. what is a strong definition? Just a couple of examples to justify this definition. If you take an homomorphism of commutative rings, then it is possible to build up a sequence of symmetric categorical groups, and it turns out that this sequence is two exact everywhere in this sense. And the classical Picard-Brauer and unit Picard sequences are pi zero and pi one of this sequence of categorical groups. This was the argument of my talk in Coimbra. The other example is the following one. Take a map between pointed spaces. Take the homotopy kernel, and then you get a long sequence, big pi 1 of y, big pi 1 of x, big pi 1 of the homotopy kernel, big pi 2 of y, etc., etc., where big pi 1 is a fundamental groupoid, and big pi 2 is a fundamental groupoid of the loop space. And this sequence is two exact everywhere in this sense, and it is a sequence of pointed groupoids. Then it becomes a sequence of categorical groups, then of braided categorical groups, and then of symmetric categorical groups everywhere. And now that we have a definition, a possible definition of exactness, I can give the definition of extension using the definition of exactness. What is an extension? Of categorical groups. It is, once again, a diagram of this kind. Three categorical groups, two monoidal functors, and natural transformation, monoidal natural transformation, such that, first, it is two exact here, in B. Second, F is faithful. And third, G is essentially surjective. So now I'm passing to the other class of epimorphism. And in fact, it is equivalent to say that F is equivalent to the kernel of G, and that G is essentially surjective. And at least in the symmetric case, this is also equivalent to ask that G is a co-kernel of F, and F is faithful. Well, there are definitions. What can we do with this definition? We recover basically all the classical theory. I mean, extensions organize in an obvious way, in a two category, which I write as ext C A is a two category, and you have, for example, a short file lemma. You have the analogous of Baer sum, etc. But the most important fact is that you have the good link between the notion of extension and the notion of two exactness. And it is a respected sequence, OM associated with an extension and a symmetric categorical group D. If you have a sequence, an extension, and any categorical, symmetric categorical group, you get a sequence etc., which is too exact. So starting from the weak definition, the weak notion of extension, this one, we get the stronger notion of too exactness. And what does it mean? It means that the categorical group of extension measures the too exactness of OM. Well, now the preliminaries are over, and I can start to discuss the cohomology sequence. I would like to recall the classical situation and then to explain the two-dimensional version. Now, let me take one case, the second and the fourth. One where everything runs well and one where there is some minor problem. So, second case, what is the classical analog? Assume we have groups, an action, a morphism, such that one delta of x dot a dot x is equal to x dot delta of a, and two, a plus b equal delta of a dot b plus a. So this is what is called a pre-crossed module, and this is a crossed module. Now, just a remark. Observe that delta of a plus b is equal to delta a plus delta b, because delta is a homomorphism, but because of the second condition, it is also equal to delta of a dot b plus a, which is equal to, this is a delta, delta of a dot b plus delta of a, and by the first condition, there is an equality here. And this diagram means that the two structures are linked. The two equations are linked. Now, if we have a precross module, G, precrossed, we can define the quotient. We can describe the quotient exactly as in the abelian case. If, moreover, it is a cross module, then we can consider derivation. In general, this is only a pointer set. But if we have this structure, this condition, the point set of derivation is a monoid under Whitehead product. So we can consider invertible derivation, and we have inner derivation. Take the kernel. If you want, you can call it AG. Take the kernel and you can call this H1. And now, if we start with an extension of G crossed module, we can, using a kernel co-kernel argument, we get an exact sequence of groups. Okay, what happens for the two-dimensional case when we work with categorical groups instead of groups? I think that it is more or less clear how to define an action if G is a categorical group and A is a categorical group, an action of G over A. It is clear how to define the structure of a pre-crossed categorical group. Simply replace equality by natural coherent isomorphism, and how to define the crossed model structure. And now the interest of this diagram is that when you replace equality by natural isomorphism, this becomes a diagram, a real diagram. And the commutativity of this diagram gives the link, the coherence between these two structures. So a crossed model is given by a structure here linked by the commutativity of this diagram. Just to give an idea of this coherence condition, to give a precrossed structure on the identity functor is exactly the same as to give a braiding on G. There is just a minor difference between the case of groups, and it is here. If we have pre-crossed cut groups, I can construct the quotient and describe it as in the abelian case, in the symmetric case, but it is not a categorical group. It is only a pointed groupoid. To get a quotient categorical group, I need immediately all this structure. A pre-crossed categorical group is not enough. I need a crossed categorical group, and then I can define the quotient as in the symmetric case. I can describe the quotient. And the rest follows exactly in the same way. Even the kernel-co-kernel argument can be proved for a sequence of for an extension of G crossed categorical groups. Just two or three remarks on this case of G crossed categorical groups, which I would like to add. The first one is consider a G crossed cat group. This way. Since it is a crossed cat group, I can construct the quotient. And now I can consider the kernel. Call P the projection. I can consider the kernel. There is a factorization, delta prime. And you check that delta prime is full and essentially surjective. This means something. This means exactly that the good notion of normal subcategorical group is given by a crossed categorical group such that delta is faithful. Because delta is faithful if and only if delta prime is in equivalence. Conversely, consider any morphism of categorical groups. Take the kernel. This part is always a categorical cross module. No, a cross categorical group, sorry. So you can take the quotient, and you get a factorization. And once again, you check that L prime is full and faithful. And what does this mean? This means that quotient are up to equivalence exactly the factor which are essentially surjective, the first class of epimorphism I described, because this is an equivalence if and only if L is essentially surjective. So in this way, we get the connection between kernel, which are faithful factor, and quotient, which are essentially surjective factor. To finish with cross-set categorical groups, I can come back to the biequivalence between cross-set module and small and strict categorical group. This is a classical result, but the construction of this biequivalence seems quite ad hoc. The explication of this biequivalence is here, is in the definition of crossed categorical group. In fact, if I have a crossed module of groups, I can consider this as a discrete crossed categorical group. And I can consider the quotient, but in the two category of categorical groups. This is not discrete, and this is exactly the categorical group associated to the cross-set module. Now, the last case, which is a little bit more complicated. So once again, I start recalling you the classical situation. Well, take a group G, take A, B, C, F, G, an extension of abelian groups, of G module, but I have considered the two-dimensional version only with the trivial action, so of an extension of abelian groups, and you know that you can get an exact sequence of abelian groups. And there are four steps to arrive to this sequence. The first is define the homology of a complex. The second step is if we have an extension of complexes, which means extension at each level, we get a long exact sequence of homology. The first step is if we have G and A, we define a complex, which is the one remembered by Michael Barr yesterday, set GA, set G2A, set G3A, etc., with a derivation given by an alternating sum. And this is a complex. And finally, if A, B, C is an extension of abelian groups, we get an extension of complexes. We have a set GNA, set GNB, set GNC. Composition with F, composition with G, etc. And this is an extension of complexes. Why? Because Gn is always projective in set. And so this is surjective. Now, the two-dimensional version. First step, consider a complex of symmetric categorical groups. Say A2, A3, A4, etc. I want to define the homology. I take the kernel, I take the comparison, and I take the co-kernel. And I call this H3 of the complex A. Now, if I have an extension of complexes, I can try to construct this connection. But it doesn't work. What happens is that I cannot define this factor on all the objects of the cohomology categorical group. I cannot define this factor on all the objects of the kernel. But if I have an object here, which is an object A in A3, together a small a from L3 A to the identity object, to define this factor, I need a compatibility between A and complex means that you have a natural isomorphism here, you have a natural isomorphism here, etc. It doesn't mean that L2 followed by L3 are equal to zero, but natural isomorphic to zero. And what I need to define this is a compatibility between A and, so where is A? A is here and alpha 3. The compatibility is exactly that L4 of A is equal to alpha 3 of big A. So we have to change the definition of the homology. We cannot consider the natural one. The first idea would be this one. We have to modify. We take the kernel of L3 modified by alpha 3. This is not a new kind of limit. This is always a bilimit. It is an universal property which characterizes it up to equivalence, etc., etc. Everything works well, but the object, this categorical group, is different. So to define the homology, I have to consider the kernel modified, and then I take the modified co-kernel in the sense that I need a bigger part of the complex to define the homology. Here I have L1. I have a natural transformation alpha 1, which induces a natural transformation here, say alpha 1 prime, and I cannot take the co-kernel of this functor. I have to take the co-kernel modified in a way which is dual to this one by alpha 1 prime. And this is the third cohomology group of A, and I call this cohomology categorical group of A, and I call this the Ulbrich cohomology of the complex. Okay, we are almost arrived, in the sense that now everything works well. Everything. The second step now is good, no problem. If I have an extension of complexes of a symmetric categorical group, I can construct I can construct a long two exact sequence involving Ulbricht cohomology. Now, this is a general theorem. I want to follow the same scheme here, and the next problem is how to replace this, what is the analogous of this complex. The obvious candidate is cat instead of set, G, A, etc. And this is not only the natural candidate, but it is, I think, the right one, because if I take the Ulbricht cohomology of this one, I get the expected information. For example, the two cases that I can study is H1, and this is really easy to see. Even if to check the details is not completely obvious, what is H1? This is Om GA. Why? Why it is easy to see? Because H1 is constructed starting, is a kernel, but a modified kernel. So an object here is an object here, together with an arrow here, together with an equation here. The object part is a functor. The arrow part is the monoidal structure. And the equation here is exactly the compatibility of the monoidal structure together with the associativity. Now, what is H2? H2 is not X. It's not X GA in the sense I defined, but it is, we recover only some extension, the extensions that with Dominique Bourne we have called F extensions. F, so this is some extensions. F stands for functorially splitted. What is F, an F extension? It means that it is an extension, and moreover, this part has a section up to natural isomorphism, but S is not monoidal, it's only a functor. And the point is that this class of extension is a good class of extension, is a proper class. All the results that I mentioned for X, also for functorally splitted extension, in particular the Om ext two exact sequence. And what is more important is that this class of extension gives us the good class of extension to go on in our program in the following sense. If I have any extension of symmetric categorical group, and I take cat GNA, cat GNB, cat GNC, in general, this is not an extension, no hope. This is an extension in the classical sense, in the sense of essentially surjective, exactly when this is splitted, functorally splitted. If I have a section, a functoral section here, then this is essentially surjective, and to be essentially surjective is exactly what we need to apply the general theorem and to get the long two exact sequence. So starting from this, we get the long two exact sequence. Okay, just to finish, if I have one minute, I would like to explain the name Ulbrich that I use for this cohomology. And the reason is that if I have a symmetric categorical group, starting from B, I can construct a quite a special extension. I take pi 1 of B, and I consider this as a categorical group with only one object. And the pi 1 is a group of automorphism. B, it's obvious this factor, it's clear. Then I take B and the pi 0 of B, which is an abelian group, and I consider this abelian group as a discrete symmetric and categorical group. And this is an extension. Now, if B is a complex, you can do the same at each level, and you have an extension of complexes. You have an extension of complexes, so we can use the general theorem and produce a long two exact sequence of symmetric categorical groups. Well, take pi 0 of this sequence, or pi 1 is the same, you get the same sequence. Pi 0 of this two exact sequence is an exact sequence of abelian groups discovered by Ulbrich in the 80s. And the interesting fact, the motivation for Ulbrich was that as a special case, you can find here a lot of classical interesting exact sequence. In particular, as a special case here, if you have a morphism of a commutative ring, you get the Hattori-Villamayo-Zelisky sequence associated with F in the classical Amitzur cohomology. Just take as B, at the level N, the Picard complex of the tensoral power of S over R n times. Okay, well, I think it is all, and thank you for your attention.